I began, working my way through, as I began arriving, composing, arriving, writing, arriving, coming, into, coming into, into, coming into, coming into, check, into, coming into, check, 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 test. And I began class, working my way through
the beginning of class,
as I began composing reflections,
at the beginning,
before beginning this class, as I began composing reflections,
I made a conscious decision both to remain in audio format and to leave each daily reflection unedited, intact, complete with all of the glorious ums and uhs, the elongated pauses punctuated by drags on cigarettes. As the class began, I decided that this was the embodiment of reflective activity, recorded and transmitted through a network of ones and zeros. Not only the enactment or performance of these false starts, verbatim and near stuttering levels of repetition and perfectly natural pauses, but also the preservation of what I call these signs of the reflective moment. I had also made the decision that my final audio project for the class must be in precise opposition to everything I felt reflection should be. Seamless, overlapping, one musical track gently fading as another equally gradually gained in volume. 10 minutes and 4 seconds of a testament to transition. A page deliberately devoid of empty white space. I had even made the decision to exploit the two-channel division of the medium to overlap textual and musical composition emanating from the left and the right speakers.
The lines had been drawn. On the one hand, reflection, the performative struggle for linearity, alongside an inherent assumption of its ultimate impossibility. On the other hand, the final project, a proportionally performative struggle against expectations of linearity, embedded in an unshakable belief in its actuality, its reality. But who drew these lines?
Where do these impulses come from? The compulsion to avoid editing in the recording of reflective activity, placed in congruence with the desire towards the polishing of a final text. The original performances of these individual reflections went rather smoothly, anywhere from 5 to 10 minutes of real time, preserved between self-selected beginnings and endings. Me speaking into a machine, all in an effort to crystallize the reflective moment. Listening to these reflections again and again, unique to the audio condition, proved painful, frustrating, annoying, in a word, strange. Strange, not in the sense of hearing my own voice spoken back to me, with echoes of, "Do I really sound like that?" but stranger through the material reality of silence. Bear in mind, I am not speaking of silence in terms of a void, of the antithesis to sound or noise, or as an empty, discursive space, as if such a space could exist. Nor am I speaking of silence as a verb. I speak of silence as a material reality, as a process of anticipation. Characterizing our Western traditional relationship to silence as often threatening, Belanoff notes how, quote, "we feel an urge to fill emptiness with something that will give it identity. Faced by an empty page, we become anxious, especially if we are responsible for making the page unempty," end quote. In the act of re-listening to my own reflections, I became the one seized with an urge to fill the emptiness with a form of identity. And I became the one who gave that emptiness an identity in and of itself. The recording of deliberately unedited reflections in the act of audio, and, infinitely more important, in the playback of these reflections, points to what George Calamaris calls the reciprocity of silence and the language act in the construction of knowledge. Audio places us in the position to examine reflection through the replaying of the reflective moment. As a creator of these individual reflections, I was under the impression I was using these pauses, these encapsulated moments of silence, towards productive ends, towards a perceived and predetermined sense of textual wholeness and linearity, the artificiality of which I only became aware of through acts of rehearing these moments of silence, of placing myself inside these pauses, of becoming one responsible for making the page unempty, and reconciling that through the act of the text's reception, I would never be successful. I became caught in the anticipation of response.